What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with Brooke's first pick of the year. And you chose Incident in a Ghostland or
Yes,
Ghost,
sir.
just Ghostland, depending on where you're looking.
Yeah.
Really fucking took me by surprise with this pick.
Did I?
Because, like, spoiler alert, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
And you not so much.
That's correct.
On a first watch, anyways, I don't know what your thoughts
Yeah.
are on it now.
Yeah.
But what made you pick this? Because this is not one I ever expected you to pick. This is like the Lodge
Yeah, I
set.
know, right? I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it. And I remember you liking it and me not so much. So I thought, hey, let's give her a go and see if my thoughts have changed on it and maybe yours as well. So,
All right, that's
yeah.
fair. That's fair. Whenever I went to log my score on Letterboxd, I almost did it like with my eyes closed because I did not want to see your score. I want to go into
Oh,
this blind with you on a second watch, and I want to know.
yeah.
I want to be surprised or
Okay.
whatever. But yeah. Yeah, before we talk about this movie, we'll kick off our news and booze. I forgot to write down what year this was from. One sec. 2018.
2018.
Yeah. All right.
Feels like it's older than that for some reason.
I mean, that's 8 years, man.
I know, but I don't know.
Yeah. Crazy. 2018 was 8 years ago, but
Yeah.
here we are. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking. I was down in your area last weekend,
Right.
so stopped El Sabio, picked up a Thousand Islands Prune Company
Nice.
lager.
Support local.
Yeah, how about you?
I opened up my beer fridge and I saw that there was still some of those Ovies in there. So I grabbed a couple of those.
Nice.
Yeah, it was either that or some Cutwaters. And I don't feel like getting lit tonight. So
That's fair.
we'll stick to these, to the old man beers.
Yeah.
What have you been watching? What's your last four?
A few things. Obviously, you know I was sick yesterday,
Yes.
so I did watch some stuff. So I finally threw on Dangerous Animals.
Nice.
Give it 2.5 stars. I thought it was all right. Kind of, I don't know. I thought based off the trailer it was like way different. Not way different, but I thought there would be more sharks in it, to be honest. But I don't know, it was
Kind
all
of a
right.
letdown in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. Then I saw that Dead Poets Society was leaving Netflix soon, so I was like, well, I haven't seen that, and it's on the IMDb top 250, so I'll throw that on. I thought it was all right. Didn't really love it. I don't know. Then I just wanted to watch something funny, so I threw on The Hangover. Just classic, just
Yes.
so fucking funny.
Is the first one your favorite in the franchise?
Definitely. I started the second one last night, didn't watch too much of it, but I know the second one isn't like love, but I think it's fucking hilarious too. And third one, I don't really remember much from the third one, but yeah, the second one is, I think, funny, but definitely the first one's the best, yeah.
Agreed. All right. For me, I watched him,
Oh yeah.
and I mean, it was good, but it was fucking weird, and it was a little too weird. Like, I like weird every once in a while, but I think this was just a little bit too over the top.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. And I watched Empire Records, I think for the same reason why you watched Dead Poets Society. I think it was leaving Prime or leaving Netflix, whatever I watched it on. And it's been a while since I watched. Sarah and I watched that Skyscraper
Oh
live
yeah.
event. I didn't give it a rating because, like, I don't know how you rate something like that.
It's weird that it's on here. What made you like look it up on Letterboxd?
I saw that Anthony actually logged it.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, sweet, it's on there. I'm gonna fucking log it. And then I watched Marshmallow, and this has been recommended a few
The
times, and
fuck is that?
it's on Shudder, came out last year. It's been recommended a few times on different Discord servers that I chat in, and I finally watched it. And dude, like, it's a good fucking movie. Like, there's a twist in it that I did not see coming whatsoever, and I definitely recommend checking it out.
Okay, this is sort of my watch list, so. I think it was on that episode of The Big Picture where they're talking about horror movies. Upcoming one. Nice.
Lila just got over a sickness, and now it seems like she's sick again.
Oh, jeez.
The joys of having children in daycare.
Yep.
All right. News. So I guess Tom Savini, people are trying to help him get nominated to on the Pittsburgh Walk of Fame. I didn't know that was it. So that's kind of cool. John Carpenter's The Thing has been added to the National Film Registry. So it was selected by the Library of Congress as one of 25 films to join the National Film Registry due to their cultural, historic, or aesthetic importance to preserve the nation's film heritage. That's cool. Matthew Lillard is launching an official Ghostface vodka.
Okay.
And the set that you get is fucking cool. And like just the bottle alone looks really cool. There's a new movie based off a video game. So the Mortuary Assistant.
Oh, right, yeah.
I've seen people play it quite a bit. Erica actually streamed it too. And like the game looks fucking terrifying. So I'm hoping that the movie. And last but not least, horror had a great time. Had a great time at the Oscars. Is gonna have. Did the Oscars already air?
It's not till March 15th.
Not till March, okay. But Sinners got nominated for like fucking 16 awards,
Yeah.
which is huge because that broke the record
Yeah.
for any movie.
Yeah.
So to have a horror movie do that is amazing. And like fucking Weapons got nominated for shit. There's something else too that got nominated.
28
But
days later.
28 Days Later, yeah. So I mean, there's a lot of horror getting represented this year, so it's good to see. Fuck the Academy still, but at least they're recognizing that horror movies are
Yeah.
actual. But anyways, that's all I got.
Are you sure? I mean, it's not horror related, but I mean, one of our favorite authors has this week.
It's not horror related, but we are both huge Brandon Sanderson fans. He wrote the Mistborn series, Stormlight Archive series, and he finished writing Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series after Robert Jordan passed away. But we've been talking for a while about how cool it would be to get like a TV or film adaptation of some of his works, and Apple TV has finally done that. They just settled a big deal yesterday, I think it was. Where Mistborn's going to be turned into a movie series, and then Stormlight Archive's
Yeah.
going to be a show. So I'm excited.
Me too. But like the big thing is, it's not just Mistborn and Stormlight that they bought, right?
No, they bought his entire.
They bought the whole Cosmere. And I read that. He's gonna help write, he's gonna help look over obviously the two stories, and he gets final approval, which apparently is very rare in these kind of deals.
Well, I think too, like, because this is huge, because he had always said that he didn't want to do this. So I think for him to even remotely consider it, I feel like Apple had to be like, all right, we're going to kind of bow down to whatever you want. And I think they recognize how beloved these, like how
Yeah.
beloved the Cosmere is to
Yeah.
fans, to fantasy fans. So,
Yeah. And I think Apple is the right pick.
I mean, if it wasn't Apple, it was going to be HBO.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
I think either one of those two, it's a good choice, and I think it's a great idea that he is holding a lot of control over everything. But yeah, I'm very excited. I can't see anything happening until like fucking 2028 or
Probably,
2029,
yeah.
probably. But
Yeah.
just knowing that it's in the works and it's in the future.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what do you have for 4Ks?
Okay. So we got Rolling Stones, Spend the Night Together, King of the Gypsies, Time Crimes, the Stendhal Syndrome. I feel like I've already talked about these because I might want to talk about the other. Yeah, all the fucking horror movies. Charles Bronson, The Mechanic, Wild Beasts, World War Z, the book.
That is cool.
Summer Wars. We got Arcane Season 1.
Nice. Did you
Once a
ever watch that?
Thief. No, I haven't. No, I've heard it's very good though. we got House Party on Criterion.
That's sick.
I remember watching that movie. Kiss of the Spider Woman on Criterion and as well.
Okay.
A lot of movies this week.
Yeah. All right. Ready to talk about this movie?
Yes, sir.
Hey, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about Incident in a Ghostland or just Ghostland, depending on where you're looking. This movie was made in 2018. Starting off with the synopsis, a mother of two who inherits a house is confronted with murderous intruders on the first night in their new home and fights for her daughters' lives. 16 years later, when the daughters reunite at the house, things get really strange. It's a poorly written synopsis, but it is what it is. This was directed by Pascal Laugier, who we are no strangers of, because we've talked about one of his movies quite often. And that's Martyrs,
Yep.
2008. And he also did The Tall Man with Jessica Biel, which I don't think I've ever seen.
I haven't either.
Doesn't have great ratings, but I might check it out anyways. For the cast, I did five for this one.
Okay.
We have Crystal Reed, who plays adult Beth. Anastasia Phillips plays adult Vera. Amelia Jones plays young Beth. Taylor Hickson plays young Vera. And then Mylene Farmer plays Pauline, who is their mother.
Yep.
And I have one honorable mention.
Okay.
I don't know if you had anybody or not. All
Not really.
right. I just picked Rob Archer. He played the fat man. Fucking makeup did a great job on this
Yeah.
movie because this guy in real life is the coolest looking motherfucker. Like, he is jacked as all shit.
Is he?
Oh yeah, and he's got like he's bald, he's got a sick big beard, and he's fucking covered in tattoos. He looks like he'd fit right in with Sons of Anarchy. But yeah, he's been in some shit. Like, he played Krampus in A Christmas Horror Story. He was in The Man from Toronto, Pixels, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like, he's got a pretty decent resume.
Yeah.
But yeah, makeup did a good job with him.
Yeah, the only one I knew from this movie is Amelia Jones, and only because I just watched the TV show. She's in Task.
Okay.
She's really good in it actually, so
Yeah.
but yeah.
All right. Ready to dive in?
Yes, sir. Oh, also, the person that plays the ice cream truck mother is actually a dude.
Yes.
Which I don't know why they went that route, like, because like the
Yeah.
body doesn't look like a man, really.
No, he's like a very feminine petite body,
Yeah.
but like ripped arms, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they went that route.
Anyway, so yeah, talk about Incident in Ghostland. So opens up with a H.P. Lovecraft quote, and also Vera is reading, or not Vera, Beth is reading P. Lovecraft book. So what did like is this story kind of based on an H.P. Lovecraft novel, or why did they kind of have this integrate into the movie?
Yeah, I don't really know, 'cause like, well, we know that Beth is a writer and she loves to write horror stories.
I guess.
And Lovecraft
Yeah.
is like her idol, but
Yeah.
I don't really know. I don't know if this was based off of, or like loosely based off a Lovecraft story. I doubt it because he does more like monster type horror.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just chose a really well-established horror writer, which I
Yeah.
found out too, because like I looked him up a little bit, because later on in the movie, spoiler alert for like almost at the end of the movie, we get a scene where he comes out and talks to Beth, and the guy in the movie looks like really fucked up, and I was like, is this actually what he looked like? So I looked him up, and they weren't far off, but
Okay.
he actually never gained popularity for his works until like the 70s. So
Really?
like long after he was dead, I think he was dead for like 30 years before he really started to gain
Yeah.
popularity. And now he's touted as like one of the best horror authors to ever live.
Yeah.
But yeah, back whenever he was actually writing his stories, he got like zero recognition. So yeah.
Yeah, so Beth, Polly, and Vera are driving to their new house. It's where their aunts lived before, or something like that. Learning that Beth is a writer. There's an ice cream truck that's honking at them and being obnoxious. So they get to the house and they read a newspaper or something like that at a convenience store, and it's basically like there's a family killer kills five. So there's a serial killer that's going on around this area.
Only kills the parents,
Right. Okay, I
leaves
missed
the
that.
teenage daughters alive.
Okay, right. To get to the house, it's a pretty massive house that they right at the bat, like Vera and Beth don't really have the best relationship. Like Vera is like, even before this incident, she's like kind of crazy and definitely is like has a screw loose a little bit, I think.
She's kind of like, she would fit in well with the Mean Girls.
That's true. Yeah.
Like she worries about popularity a lot, whereas like Beth doesn't really care. She kind of just by the toot of her own horn, right?
Yeah.
And Vera hates that because Vera's like she's blonde, where Beth is like dark hair, and she wears like preppy clothes, where Beth is kind of more like a little bit like a quiet gothic sort of style.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just very much like a, I don't know,
Yin and yang.
conflicting. Yeah, very
Yeah.
conflicting.
So they're upstairs. You see the ice cream truck pull up. In this house, there's all these fucking creepy ass dolls, especially the one with
So
fucking
many.
massive eyes and is just like laughing
Yeah.
all the time. Pauline has no service to her cell phone, you know, of course, cliche. And then out of nowhere, this fucking big ass dude just fucking runs in. Rams right into the wall, like out of
Yeah.
nowhere, like holy
Yeah.
shit.
A boy can run.
He can. So there's also a woman there. And yeah, this dude is just, I mean, he's not all there. He's definitely like handicapped of some sort, right? Because he just fucking grabs the dolls and starts like smelling their vaginas, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And the ice cream truck mother says that he just wants to play with dolls. So, yeah, so he's up there with the two girls. Beth is getting away, and then the mother, Pauline, comes out of nowhere and starts fighting against the other mother. And she's like putting up a pretty good fucking fight. Like she's
Yeah,
stabbing the
she
shit out of
is.
this girl, and you're like, oh shit, like
Yeah.
she's got her, man.
One thing too, like about the big guy, because he picks up Beth first and he grabs her by her ankle. Like this guy is strong as shit. Picks her up by the ankle. No.
Yeah.
This was this one by the ankle or by her
Yeah, because he
neck?
hands her upside down.
Yeah, so grabs her by the ankle and just like pulls her up, and she'd just gotten her first period.
Yeah.
So he picks her up and he sniffs her and he's like, oh, and just like
Yeah.
throws her. And then he grabs Vera and does the same thing, and then just takes her into like this back room.
Yeah.
And it doesn't show anything, but like the assumption is there that he's SAing her.
Trying to, right?
Yeah.
So the mother's like beat the shit out of this girl, stabbed her a bunch of times, and ends up stabbing No, Veer ends up stabbing the fat man, the shit of the fat man. You assume that he's dead. And then downstairs, Pauline stabs the mother in the throat, or the woman in the throat. And then you think, like, oh, everything's like hunky dory, everything's good. And then older Beth wakes up, and you learn that Beth is still a writer. She wrote a book, Incident in the Ghostland, which people are saying is her like most personal work. And I love like this interview, like the lady's like, this is like your most personal work ever. And she's like, so what happened that night? Like, just like comes right out of the blue and just like first question and just like asks, what happened to you and your sister?
Read the book, bitch.
Yeah, really. Also, like, they named their kid Harlequin. It's kind of a fucking weird ass name.
Yeah, especially for a boy. That, yeah.
But Beth gets a phone call from Veer, and Veer is like going crazy, talking like how mom is asked if mom is there, stuff like this. So Beth is going back to the house. Which, if I was like, obviously Beth left, right? But like, if I was Vera and Pauline, like, why wouldn't she try and find somewhere else to like? Instead, like, Pauline's keeping Vera like locked in the basement pretty much. And it's like, why not leave? Like, all of her trauma's at this house. So like, it's never gonna leave her, right? She's back at the house. You learn that she's been sending her mom money. And mom says that Vera is chained up. Not chained up, but Beth is like, you have a key to like, you lock her in there. And she's like, no, she locks herself in there. Like, I have to keep a spare key up, like above the door or whatever. But I go down there, and Vera's like all like naked or in her underwear and like has like bruises and shit all over her. And she's like, just obviously not all there. Fucking attacks Beth, doesn't know who she is, just keeps reliving the night over and over again. That's what I. One thing that bugs me with this movie is like it kind of feels like all over the place with like going back and forth, like cause you don't know like what's real and like what actually happens. I don't know. Yeah, so we see Beth wakes up. There's on the mirror it says "Help me" written on it. Vera's naked downstairs. You see like the truck pull up, and they're like, "Nah, like that couldn't have happened, right?" We see like a wagon full of dolls that's in the backyard that Beth thinks like there's like some fucking dog that shows up, and she is kind of like thinking, are these fucking people back? But the mom is there. There's a whole bunch of weird stuff that's going on in this. Like the mom's talking kind of like we're saying weird shit, and then some like weird noise is happening. So like spoiler for like the next 5 minutes ahead, but the mom actually died during that altercation. So what do you think Beth is seeing, or who is she like talking to in these?
Well, there's one point like Vera finally like snaps her out of this, and it's like just a complete psychosis, right? So the whole first little bit of the movie, you think that Vera's the one that's crazy and that keeps reliving this over and over and over again. But then you find out that Vera is the one that's actually been coherent through all of this. And it's Beth that is just completely dissociating with like real life and just has created this entire future for herself where she's this established art, author that she wanted to be. And like she's lived out her dreams, and only her mother and Vera stayed in the house. But it turns out, like you said, Pauline died that night, and the girls are still fucking teenagers. And they're just like, it's just Beth living this whole futuristic life, but in just complete psychosis. But then Vera finally snaps her out of it. And then that's when they're able to start like working together and like kind of fighting back. So the first bit of the movie is just all a fabrication in Beth's mind.
So they end up calling the cops. The mom's gonna go wait by the road. She keeps seeing images from that night. Beth does. So yeah, like you said, Beth was the crazy one all along. The mom was actually killed. You see Beth is like talking to pictures and stuff like that of her mother. She's chilling with Vera. They're like, this is when they're back younger, because it goes back to when they're younger. So the mom's killed, and they're like just talking to pictures of their mom, and they're like eating candy. So like obviously they're like staying in this house, like nothing. It's like at this point, are they still like kept locked up by the two killers at that point, or are they just living there by themselves?
No, they're still there, and that's why Vera's face is all fucked up. And Beth wakes up, like, once she wakes up and we see her, like, in her current state of mind, she has a big, like, black eye and stuff, too. So the shit keeps happening to them, that the same stuff that happened on that first night. Excuse me, because Vera tells Beth, like, he wants you to be a doll. Like, don't move, don't cry, don't fight back, because it'll only make it worse. And she said, like, the last time he took me, I tried to fight back and like look what happened to me, kind of thing. She said, just go up there and don't move and just take it. Whatever he does, just take it.
Yeah, because
So
the oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, so the two like intruders, kidnappers, like they're still there.
Yeah, because the mother is like dressing them up like dolls, like putting like the paint on them and making them look like kind of like glass dolls, like the so she puts her in the doll rooms, all these fucking dolls everywhere, and she like blends right in. And the fat man comes in, he picks up a doll, and he just grabs it, starts burning it with this butane torch, the arm, and he's like sniffing the fucking vagina and stuff, and Beth is just like staring, and he like turns his head, and she like turns her head, and then he grabs her and he has her held up, and she starts peeing herself, and then he like starts like sniffing it and licking it off her neck, and it's like, oh, so fucking gross. So he throws, no, she stabs him in the shoulder with something from her hair, and then he just like fucking loses it. He's like breaking all the dolls and just going nuts, man.
But he can't tell, like, it's almost like he can't tell which one is her. Because she just kind of like sits there. And she sits still, and he's just like, he's grabbing every other fucking doll and just throwing it around.
So she's slowly getting away, and he's sitting there like kind of laying there. He's like crying, and she gets out of there. Shambles gets away, but then she goes to the door downstairs, and you can hear the mother on the other side, so she doesn't go. She ends up she hits him with a typewriter at one point,
And
and
she
then the
smashes him
mom
over the head with it.
has the sledgehammer and is breaking down the door, and she pretends that she went at the window, but she didn't actually go at the window. So the mom runs downstairs, but she actually hid behind the mirror where this fucking creepy ass doll is that just laughs hysterically.
It's like it's a Chinese trap mirror, I think she called it. And
Oh,
there's like a
okay.
special button on it that opens up the mirror, and then there's like a compartment inside of it.
So she like peeks out, and the fat man's like laying there crying, and she's like close it again, and then like a thing laughs, and she's like trying to hold it, opens it up, the guy's gone. You're like, she ends up getting away from him. She goes and gets Vera from downstairs. They end up running out of the house. They're running away. They're in this field, and then these cops show up. Two cops show up, and they're, asking them what's going on. You all right? They call for help, and then out of nowhere, just one of the cops just gets shot, and it's the mother that's in the field, and she ends up coming up to the other cop, and is shooting right in the face and kills her.
And these cops recognize the girls too. They're like, oh, these are the ones that so and so was talking about at the convenience store. Like, they're definitely the ones that we're looking for. And like you said, they radio it in and they're like, oh, yeah, like we found these girls. We got to get them to the hospital and everything like that. Like, these cops are just gearing to go, get them out of there. And you think, like, okay, this is it. Like, they've gotten rescued, but there's still like, what, 20 minutes left in the movie. So.
And they're trying to help, but Vera's like saying like, get the fuck away from me, and they just I'm describing their kidnappers as a witch and an ogre, which is very accurate.
It is, yeah.
So they get dragged back to the house. We then get, like you said, Beth, in kind of a dream state. her dreaming of like H.P. Lovecraft, her husband and son, all of these fictitious stuff that she's made up in her head, and she sees a door with Vera, and Vera's like yelling at her to help her. So it goes back to the house. They're being attacked by the fat man. They're almost killed. What happens to the fat man? How was
The cop, another cop shows up and shoots him.
Oh, that was at the end. Yeah, sorry. So before that, they are in the room, the doll room with the mother, and the mother is attacking one of them, and then Beth ends up just ripping the mom's throat out, just taking a big chunk out of her, and then ends up biting her finger off and like just fucking biting all over to, get whatever. So they kill the mother, and then yeah, like you said, the fat man's there, but then a cop comes out and then shoots the fat man.
The cop kills the mother too.
Oh, right, because she was still alive. Yeah, and that's pretty much how it ends. They are being loaded like into the ambulance. They say like "I love you," and then they see the mother Pauline up in the window. That's pretty much it.
She's waving at Beth, and then she points to something on the ground outside, and the typewriter's sitting at there. So I think that's her saying, like, keep doing what you're doing, sort of thing. Like,
Like you
don't.
need to write about this.
Like, don't. Don't let this opportunity kind of pass by. At least get some good out of it.
But you could even tell like at the beginning of the movie, like whenever Vera's like when they first get to the house and she's like out by the car and she's like yelling at her mom and she says like, "I know you love her more than me." Like you can kind of tell throughout this whole movie that she kind of liked Beth, I think, a bit more.
I think they just had more in common. 'Cause
Oh,
like
maybe.
Pauline likes Beth's horror stories, and like they just seem to have a more solid relationship, and I think it's because they have similar interests. 'Cause like you said before, they move into this house and there's just like these creepy dolls everywhere. The whole aesthetic of this house is so creepy and weird, and Pauline and Beth are just all over it. They love it. Whereas Vera's like, this is creepy as shit, and I don't want to live here.
Exactly. But yeah, anything else?
I don't think so. No.
All right. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
I was gonna say, if you haven't watched this movie yet, don't listen to this episode right away, but it's a little too late for
A
that. If you've gotten
little
this
late.
far, all right, how did you rate this one? I know you didn't like it on your first watch. Did that change at all on this watch?
It did not.
Okay.
I give it a 1.5 out of 5.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah, I like after talking about it, like I still like kind of get it some parts, but it just doesn't do it for me. Like I just think it's too all over the place. I think the acting is like okay, but like I feel like the acting's kind of held back a bit by like the writing and stuff like that.
Okay.
I do like kind of this one single location of this house that they filmed really well. I thought that the antagonists are really kind of cool looking and different. But I kind of want to know like their story. Like, is this mother like actually the fat man's mother? Like, he kind of seems older than her. Like, you don't really see her face that much because she's like that they darken it a lot, obviously, because it's yeah, I don't know, just not for me.
Yeah, and like, 'cause they do have a story prior to this too, right? Like, they're a pretty infamous duo that's been kind of targeting families in this area. So, let's get prequel in a ghost land. For me, I gave this a 3.5 on this watch. My first and second watch, I gave it a 4. But I dropped it down to 3.5 for this one. I think it's a great psychological horror, and I think it's like well made personally. But I think once you learn the twist, or once you've seen the twist, it really kind of takes that wow factor out of it. Because like the whole time I was watching it, I was like, I know what happens. And
I forgot about it, to be honest, so like, but yeah.
But yeah, like if you go into this and you go into it blind, I feel like that twist can kind of take you by surprise, because I know I wasn't expecting it the first time I watched this one. So,
Yeah, definitely.
but I think it's well acted. I think it's creepy. I think it's effective. I already said it, but like I loved the twist on the first time I watched it. So I don't know. It's like it's not winning any awards, and it's not my favorite movie by any means, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. I think this is the first time in a while that we've been kind of on opposite ends of
I think so.
the rating scale. But anyways, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: Incident in a Ghostland may satisfy horror fans in search of a nasty kick, but it's narratively flawed and it's decidedly not for the squeamish. Based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say like a 71.
50%.
Oh wow, okay.
And that's on 30 reviews.
Yeah, not that many.
No. The audience score was a 61% on 500 ratings, and an average score of 3.5 out of 5, or a 7 out of 10. Letterboxd.
Letterboxd has a 3.2 out of 5. So I know I'm in the more minority, but yeah, Anthony gave it a 2.5, and Slashing Captain gave it a 4.5.
Okay. Shit. All right, you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Right, how did you rate the scares in this movie?
I'll go like a 3 out of 10,
Okay.
just for like the kind of like realness, you know, this could happen to anyone. And also like the mother and Fat Man are scary, the fucking dolls are creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely a bit scarier than you think, and psychological aspect of it too. So I'll give it a 3 out of 10. Scary scene, I'll go with one of the scenes with like the laughing doll with the fucking big red bright eyes.
I think
Just
it was fucking scary.
it was, yeah. So I'll go with that little guy there.
All right.
And then would I survive? I mean, I'll say no, just because like the fat man's fucking massive, and
Okay.
you know, he's got that I would say it.
Yeah,
He got that certain strength to him, you know.
he does.
So I'll say no.
Okay.
Yeah, how would you?
For the scares, I gave it a 5. I said I
Okay.
think right down the middle is a good spot for this. It wasn't like in your face scary very often, but there was the odd jump scare, but especially with that fucking stupid doll.
Yeah.
And it was just like really effectively creepy, like with the whole aesthetic of the house and like how you mentioned antagonists. Like they were just, I don't know, they're well designed characters, I think. And the fat man, like just his whole like with him sniffing the crotches of dolls, and then like with the girls and stuff too, and like how you mentioned like this could happen, like this isn't anything supernatural or like over the top. So it's just it's a fucking home invasion, and it could happen. Scary scene. I said I think our first interaction with the two of them in the house, like whenever they first break in, because
Yeah.
it's just like I don't know, man. You're watching this family like unpack in this house, and like
Yeah.
ha two of them are having a good time. The other one's kind of fucking miserable about it. But
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know, it's a happy time, sort of, in Pauline's life, anyways. And then just fucking out of nowhere, dude, she just gets bulldozed by fucking Vince Wilfork on steroids. And it's just, yeah, I don't know, it came out of nowhere. Plus, like the fake mother, she was, I don't know, creepy shit.
Kind of remind me of art
Yeah, in a
a
sense.
little bit.
Yeah, like if they ever remade this, they're not going to, but like David Howard Thornton could play that.
That's true, yeah.
Would I survive? I said I think I could. Like
Okay.
the big guy was mentally challenged, and he was easily outsmarted by the girls. So for him, the overpowering him part would be difficult. But like I think if you could outsmart him to like falling into some sort of a trap, I think it would be easy to take out. And then the mother, I said, like, she'd be a bit harder because she's kind of shifty and like more nimble and obviously a little bit smarter, but very small statured. So I feel like I could do to her what the fat man did to Pauline and just fucking slam her through a wall. So I don't know. I think maybe. I think I could. All
Nice.
right. That wraps it up. My turn to pick our next episode.
Sir.
I asked you if you were cool with this, if we did a franchise episode, because, like, obviously, that's a little bit more of a commitment, but it's not a huge franchise.
Okay.
It's a well-known franchise and a well-loved one. Nobody does franchises quite like us. The best franchise. No. We're gonna be doing the Hannibal Lecter franchise.
Okay.
So,
I didn't know that there was five movies.
yeah, so there's Manhunter, which came out in the 80s, doesn't have Anthony Hopkins or any of the things. It's more based off the books. And then there's obviously Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, Red Dragon, and then Hannibal Rising.
Okay.
It'll be five movies, and I think there's a couple that I have not seen, so.
Yeah, like we did Silence of the Lambs already, right?
No, we didn't.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Because that was the one. Remember whenever I first asked you, I was like, yeah, one of them could be like a why haven't we done this yet?
Oh. Huh.
I'll double check. I'll double check right now, but I really don't think we have.
Well, it doesn't matter, whatever. Yeah, I've only seen obviously Silence of the Lambs, and I've seen Red Dragon, whatever that one was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we haven't. I need to get a spreadsheet like two chicks have and just
I was literally thinking about that the other day.
just have it easily accessible.
It's funny that you picked this because I was going to pick the first season of Hannibal as an
Oh
episode.
shit, really?
Yeah.
Nice. That show was good, man. I'm so upset that it got
It was,
canceled.
yeah.
It was a really good show. Mads Mikkelsen was a great Hannibal Lecter.
He was, yeah. Well, I saw someone the other day post, I don't know if it was true, but they were talking about bringing that show back with Mads and then Zendaya as Clarice.
Clarice, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be okay with that. Whenever we were talking earlier, you said you thought you knew which
Yeah.
franchise I was going to pick. Which one were you thinking?
Scary movie.
Oh shit, that would have been a good one. Especially with six coming out this year.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been a good one. Maybe we'll wait until six comes out and then we'll do it.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. All right. Anyways.
Cool.
Yeah, come back in 2 weeks. We're talking about the Hannibal Lecter franchise, five movies. In the meantime, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. Currently, there's a big store-wide sale on T Public. I don't know if that's still going to be going on by the time this episode releases, but take advantage of it if it is. Buy some shit.
Yeah.
There's also
Low
a
key your
link.
kids.
Yeah, exactly. There's links. Oh man, if we relied on this podcast for that, we'd be fucked. World Vision would be coming to us. What else is there? Patreon account. If you want to support the podcast that way, there's links to our Discord server. And our letterbox at anywhere that you can. That wraps it up.
Yes, sir. Alrighty, we'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Bye.